This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Yeah, it's cold outside, but it's still a great time to get out and enjoy nature. Later in the show, we'll talk about the winter programs being offered by our park systems. But first, many businesses today compete not just with companies in the same city, but with international firms as well. And it's not just our economy that's gone global. More and more, what happens in one country has an impact on events and policies in other countries. The mission of the Greater Cincinnati World Affairs Council is to prepare our region to thrive in today's global environment by promoting international understanding, education, engagement, and cooperation. Joining us to discuss the work of the Greater Cincinnati World Affairs Council are Executive Director Michelle Harpenow, Director of Global Education Katie Krafka, and Board Member John Penny, an attorney with Graydon, Head, and Ritchie. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And good to see everybody on a Friday afternoon.
Good morning, Mark.
Good afternoon.
Now, Michelle, talk about the Greater Cincinnati World Affairs Council's history. It's been around for a pretty long time, since, what, 1923, is that?
Yeah, so we actually began our work in 1923, educational work, conferencing, and policy mostly, through our national affiliate with the World Affairs Council of America. And the World Affairs Council of America actually was started in conjunction with the Foreign Policy Association. And this was based on a concern at the end of World War I, Americans would start thinking more of an isolationist foreign policy versus a policy of engagement and really working at the grassroots level, thinking through international affairs. So in order to understand the grassroots and engagement in international affairs, we started involving our citizens locally. And that's how they started to expand out from D.C. and formed councils around the United States. And from there, in 1961, we actually formed a International Visitors Council here as well.
So in 1969, that was the Global Ties U.S. partnership that was formed?
Yes, exactly. So now we can start welcoming visitors from all over the world to Cincinnati, because the State Department formed a program called the International Visitor Leadership Program. And Global Ties handles that type of work.
Michelle, how many people do you have working on this mission of building international goodwill?
We have two full-time staff members, but we do have a slew of unpaid interns, about 6 to 8 every semester, who really get to get their hands dirty in the policy work and international happenings. We also have 14 board members, as well as 7 advisory board members who help through all this work, and a membership base. So it's a lot of people doing this good work.
Katie, how did you get involved with the World Affairs Council? Why did you want to go to work with these folks?
I started as an intern. I started as a social media intern in 2011, and a position opened up to focus on the education programs, and education is a real passion of mine, and I've always been drawn to international cultures and different people, so it was right up my alley.
Michelle, tell us your story of how you became involved with the council.
Sure. I started back in 2010. A best friend of my mother used to work with the World Affairs Council back in the day, referred me, and I actually also started as an intern. So I was interning for about a month there, and same way as Katie, a position opened up. There's a lot of fluctuation with nonprofits. And since then, I've been working on mostly exchange programs, basically jumping the numbers up. When I started, we had about 150 visitors coming into Cincinnati, and we jumped up to about 300. So we've stuck around 300 for the past 2 years or so.
You're both very young. Does it help being young as far as reaching out to a lot of young professionals and saying being globally aware is vital nowadays?
Absolutely. I mean, we are constantly finding different youth groups that are happening, specifically international groups, as well as working with a lot of international students groups. And because our interns are so hands-on in the office, when they go on and move on to their real careers, you know, they're constantly coming back to us saying thank you so much. It's a constant reference and attitude that they have.
Yeah, and I think that we bring great perspective to this work. The best thing that I've found working with students is that they like to learn from other students. So that collaboration, that peer-to-peer learning has been really instrumental in us growing our education programs and making it more impactful.
John, can you talk about the approach that the council takes? It sounds like it's a multifaceted approach. In other words, you aren't just directing your efforts at business, but it's kind of a well-rounded, broad effort, isn't it?
I think that's right, Mark. The the thing that I like to think of with regard to the work of the World Affairs Council is that it gives opportunities for those who are members actively involved to broaden their own horizons. But of great importance is the mission of reaching out and helping bring the world, cultures, people, and perspectives to the Cincinnati community. As we all know, as you mentioned in your setup piece, is that the world is becoming smaller. People are traveling. People need to know what's going on in the rest of the world. And given some of the problems in our educational systems and some of the constraints that are in there, the way that the World Affairs Council reaches out and provides opportunities to students throughout our region to learn about other peoples, other cultures, and the opportunities that are there will enhance and grow our ability to be a meaningful member of the world community and thrive as a result.
Michelle, are there advantages to being located at Northern Kentucky University? Does that give you kind of a nice focal point to work from?
Yeah, so about 2 years ago, we formed a strategic alliance with Northern Kentucky University to really help us think through our strategic plan and think through where we're really needed in the region. And we felt that Northern Kentucky was one of the best places to have our office and work in conjunction with the international student office that they have there. We work directly with a lot of the students, as well as the business community and schools, and we're finally able to reach the schools in Northern Kentucky because we're located there, in conjunction with all of the opportunities that we have in the greater Cincinnati region, which we've held for many, many years.
John, what kind of support are you getting for these efforts from the community? What types of alliances and affiliations do you have?
Well, one of the key things that is part of the work of the World Affairs Council is a website called Global Cincinnati. And through that, we try to be a clearinghouse or a common point of reference where anyone that has interest in any of the international organizations that are centered here in Cincinnati can go to and have access to not only our website and the resources that are part of it, but also the websites of these other related international organizations, so that there's really a one-stop shop where people that are interested in, say, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce or the Chinese Chamber of Commerce or other types of organizations that touch upon international interest in international affairs can go to and find. So that's a major focus of our collaboration with other organizations.
Michelle, I'm going through this list of programs that the council has. It's an extensive list. How many different programs do you offer?
Oh, putting me on the spot.
Question.
A good number. I would guesstimate probably about 10 solid programs. We do three annual high school global education programs. We have one program that we take into grade schools as well as high schools and universities. And then we have an adult education program. We also do visitor exchange programs through the State Department, and we also do ad hoc programs with visitors, be it state organizations or embassies directly.
Well, one of those programs you started to touch on earlier was the U.S. Department of State International Visitor Leadership Program. Can you tell me some more about that?
Sure. This is the State Department's premier exchange program. It's really about connecting people and connecting their counterparts. So the embassies abroad will actually handpick these visitors that they see as emerging leaders in their field. And this is based on addressing a foreign policy goal or a challenge that's going on around the world. And when they come here to the United States, they usually spend about 3 to 4 weeks in the United States. And they have 3 to 4 stops. One of those stops can be Cincinnati. So when they come here, they usually spend time meeting one-on-one with local professionals. And, you know, taking time to maybe eat Skyline or maybe go see the opera or, you know, really trying to get to know what is America like, both professionally and culturally.
How effective would you say that program has been?
I would say it's been very effectively, most recently and most notably within our region specifically. We've hosted someone from the Netherlands. And he was actually a sports agent who came over to learn about American sports and how to manage players. He met with one of our local agencies, KMG Sports, and from that meeting, it's a very short meeting, an hour and a half. You have not a lot of time to talk or discuss, you know, potential collaborations. But KMG actually kept up with the visitor that came over, and they formed a partnership with him and started for the first time a soccer division here in Cincinnati. And I learned recently this week that they just got their first soccer player. So it's working.
That's good to hear. The Great Decisions program, that's, 50 years old now?
Yes, yes. That was associated with the Foreign Policy Association. So back when I said in 1923, they started all of that policy work, and out of that came the Great Decisions program, which is an adult program where they choose 10 topics?
Eight
topics each year. And those are the top eight topics throughout the world. And they actually reach out to the different councils and different people to get those eight topics and help decide where and what our foreign policy challenges and goals are going to be for the next year.
Hey, Katie, there's several educational programs the council offers, and there's the International Education Summit. Can you tell us what that's about?
Yes. It's one of our most popular programs. It's held during International Education Week in November, which is the third week in November every year. And our International Education Summit, which is sponsored by Northern Kentucky University and is held on their campus. We really try and focus on bringing high school students out to campuses and colleges. But it really focuses on international careers. We pick a specific topic each year. Last year was social media and its global impact. So we had Kristen Nyer of Bootcamp Digital, a local company here. She is Canadian, who moved here to Cincinnati and started her business. And she essentially explained how she works internationally. And it really exposes students to the different options that they will have after high school and really trying to expand their world, whether it's studying abroad, whether it's Peace Corps. We try and just open up the doors and let them see all the different options that they have in the future.
This one sounds very interesting. There's the Model APEC, which is similar to the Model UN.
Correct.
How does that work?
So students literally will claim an Asian Pacific economy, and they will take the place of ministers, and they get to dive into that country's culture, their policy work, what they really feel about different subjects like trade and religion and women's rights. And they come together and they debate. So it's a big debate policy or debate forum between students who essentially take on these roles and take themselves out of like the American perspective, and they jump into like the Japanese perspective or something like that. So it's a really in-depth program where they are told to, you know, learn all, completely about a different country.
And what about the John, did you want to add something to that?
Well, I was actually going to change the subject just a little bit to circle back on the International Visitors Program that that we have, because I think that is one of the most successful and, frankly, one of the most meaningful parts of the mission of the World Affairs Council, because it brings all kinds of professionals, judges, business people, entrepreneurs, to the United States and to Cincinnati, and it gives us an opportunity as residents here to interact with them. For example, we've had delegations of judges from Turkey or from other countries that I've had the privilege of taking them around and introducing them to our judges in courts, as well as to have some programs that deal with human rights issues. For example, there was a young woman from Belgium who was a Muslim woman who was involved in human rights issues in Europe and primarily in Belgium, but dealing with some of the issues of great current interest of religious conflict, the Al-Qaeda influence. It's influencing both how people of faith and the Muslim faith deal with those challenges, as well as the reactions politically and from populations in Europe. So getting to know those issues through the opportunity of interacting with visitors is really a marvelous opportunity for people in Cincinnati through participation with the World Affairs Council.
John, are there countries that the council works with the most?
Well, I think that's with regard to the visitors program, that's somewhat dependent upon who's in the group of people that are traveling at the instigation of the invitation of the State Department through its program. And we, by the way, are involved in a process of bidding for opportunities through the State Department of providing the resources, home visits, dinners with people. And that gives our core constituency of members and persons that are interested in our mission to participate and contribute to not only our program, but really the national objective of trying to help foreign visitors get to know America.
Also, each year we receive between 60 and 70 visitors from 60 to 70 different countries. So there's not really a particular region that mostly comes to Cincinnati. I would say I have more people come from South America and Africa than any other region of the world. Europe is very little. There's very little visitors from Europe. But we've had visitors from over 150 countries over the past 4 years. So almost every country has been through here at one point.
Are there any particular countries, Michelle, that you'd like to form better ties with?
I would say Egypt in particular, mostly because we have some ties there locally. We've had an intern who was from Egypt, and she now works at Cincinnati Children's and works through Arabic. So we have a lot of ties with Egypt. And I would also say if France, I could form ties. I've been studying French since I was very young, so any ties with France in particular as well.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. You can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Michelle, how do you go about working with area businesses? How does the council approach that?
We actually just reach out to the presidents or CEOs of the companies. And most of the time we have a simple conversation, you know, what is the company's interest in doing international work, in learning about the world? Does that really relate to any of the goals that they're working towards? And then we try to link them up directly with the visitors that are coming through. So, for instance, if you take the topic of anti-human trafficking, which is a very big topic here in Cincinnati, both with our local resources and abroad, it's a global issue.
And also the Freedom Center is heavily involved in those issues, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, for instance, we'll work with an organization like End Slavery Cincinnati, and they're doing work locally to prevent human trafficking. They're doing training with the police officers and different things like that. And when the visitors come, they'll meet with them to discuss the training opportunities and take back what they learn and see if it will work within their country. So it's a really collaborative effort between our local businesses, what they're doing here, how they can, you know, tell what's going on over there and see what's going on within the community.
Katie, what kind of things can Cincinnati learn and gain from taking a more global view?
Definitely. One thing that I like to talk about, especially from the school aspect, is how students learn about the world. What we're really trying to do is build empathy with our students. And we don't want to do that through raising money or raising food and sending it off to places. It's more effective when students get to learn, meet, get to know someone from another country. And then if something ends up happening there, say they meet someone from Japan and there's a terrible earthquake and then follows by a tsunami, instead of just, you know, thinking of that as a problem, they know someone there, they're connected to that country, and they will then want to help them from a friendship point of view. So we're really trying to build relationships that are rooted in trust and respect and knowledge of that other person, and just understanding that different isn't bad. Different is good and interesting, and it's what makes the world interesting.
It's really people-to-people diplomacy more than anything.
Reverse that. Now, we talked about what could Cincinnati learn and gain. What does Cincinnati have to offer to other regions of the world?
Cincinnati has a lot to offer. That's actually why we get so many visitors coming here to Cincinnati. We have a lot of higher education institutions that we work with, the University of Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky University, Miami University, Xavier. They're all so close together and doing amazing academic work that we get a lot of teachers coming through and a lot of administrative people, mostly recently from Iraq. We had a group come through the Ministry of Education to meet with our local education.
But visitors also really like our city feel with our neighborhood feel. So they can come here and they can stay in the city, but then they can also be hosted for dinner by someone out in the suburbs and really get to see an American home for the first time, eat American food, and talk to a real American family. So I think we have a really good mix of both the city life and the neighborhood suburban life.
John, how does Cincinnati do in terms of being a global city? Does it help that we have companies like Procter & Gamble and GE Aviation and a lot of others that have a global perspective?
It sure puts us on the map. Cincinnati is a place that is certainly not a place where most foreign visitors coming to visit the United States will choose to come to the first time. They'll go to New York or maybe Washington or something like that. But the feel of our town is so much different from the feel of other places. It's the real America. And not to disparage our friends and colleagues elsewhere in the country, but it's valuable for foreign visitors to see that everything is not Hollywood, everything is not Broadway. And in fact, that's one of the attributes of the State Department's program is that they do send visitors through a lot of different cities, and we're right up there among them as being one of the preferred locations. Due in large extent through the work of Katie and Michelle, who are young women who are really dynamos, and as a board member, and everybody that's listening on the radio certainly can tell that, is that we are very privileged to have them as part of our key leadership.
I would also say that a lot of the visitors come from really rural, small town areas within their countries. So a lot of the time they go to large cities and don't really get the feel of what's going on within the United States. You know, it's more federal level. And so when they come here to Cincinnati, it's the smaller town version. We can send them to rural, like Katie was saying, or the city feel. So they really get the real world experience.
Michelle, I had this on my list of things I had to ask you about.
Sure.
One of your programs is called Global Gaggle.
Oh,
yeah. What is that about?
So the Global Gaggle, we actually just started it about 3 years ago, and we really feel it's one of our niches here in the city. We invite the international visitors who are coming through, be it through the visitor program or other visitors coming, to hear their global perspectives firsthand. So we'll actually invite them to discuss why they're here, discuss their careers. You know, we've had Russian mayors, religious leaders, leaders in conflict resolution. We even had a poet who came and gave a little ramble about politics going on in Zimbabwe. So it's just such a wide range of speakers that we have. But, you know, instead of hearing from an American perspective about the different countries and their role in America, we hear from the visitors how they see their role in America and what's going on there.
John, what kind of impact would you say the council has had for Greater Cincinnati?
Oh, golly. That's a hard question. I will start by saying is that I think it's a important organization that has had a significant positive effect. But as with many nonprofits, there's always a question as to, you know, where the next dollar is coming from, and that there's a lot more that we could do. I think that it's been a very valuable effort that those involved, and Michelle and Katie and some of their predecessors, have had of the positive impact, such as the World Choir Games. We weren't responsible for that, but we played a part in helping making that a successful event. And that was one of the more recent events that really opened the eyes of Cincinnatians to what the world was like and what kind of role we can play in it. But there's much more we can do, and we would like to invite all of the listeners to the program to sign on to our website, take a look at the programs we offer, the Global Gaggle, the some of the educational programs. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to engage you in some of the things that we do.
What is the website, John?
I'm going to say it's...
whoever knows it can say...
GlobalCincinnati.org.
There you go.
Okay. And I'll also admit we have a link to that on our website, WVXU.org, if you want to check it out through our website. Michelle, tell me about the event the council has coming up in March. I think March 7th, is it?
Yes. So we are going to be holding our second annual gala. And the event's called One Mind, One World, One Night. And we actually got that name because we believe that for this one night, you know, we can all come together and think through things. It's a global trivia competition. So one mind, you know, we are one world. We're all trying to work together through business or culture or just, I mean, the world is just expanding. And then one night, obviously one night, March 7th. At the Hilton. We're really excited. It's almost a sold-out event. We have very limited amount of tickets left, you know, less business tables available, and it's just fun. Businesses will come together, form a team, or community members will come and form a team. You know, Gradenhead will be there, Sister Cities, Nancy France will be there, Children's Hospital Medical Center. We actually will have one of the high school teams from our high school level competition that we do called Academic World Quest there. So we like to play off, are you smarter than a high schooler? it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of energy that goes on that night.
It really drives home how important global education is. It is global trivia. We don't try to make it super hard, but it really shows that you need global trivia in your life. We're all interconnected. So it's a really fun game.
Who doesn't love a good trivia night?
Yeah, and the winner we call the global know-it-all. So don't you just want to be called that?
Yeah. I want that title.
Yeah. Yeah.
My wife says I know it all. Yeah. Michelle, Katie, and John, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Greater Cincinnati World Affairs Council Executive Director Michelle Harpenau, Director of Global Education Katie Krafka, and Board Member John Penny, an attorney with Gradenhead and Ritchie. After the break, we'll take a look at the opportunities to enjoy nature, even when it's bitter cold outside. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.